Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say, as always, it's Inspirational Truth Time once again, and I greet you excitedly in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all friend, if He isn't yours, He can be. He wants to be. In fact, He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's according to the Word of God. Well, I'm glad that you joined with Debbie and me this morning. I'll tell you what's the truth, friend. I'm excited about the message that God started laying on my heart last week, and He's given me the grace and the privilege to follow up this week. It's out of the book of John chapter 10. The title of the message that the Lord has laid on my heart is this: How the Messiah Came. Oh, look, friend, I'm here to tell you, He came by the grace of God. He came according to the will of God. And He came, friend, in complete agreement with the Word of God. And how wonderful that it is. So we're going to continue with that this day, the good Lord willing. If you'd like to join me, you can turn your Bible to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and we'll just continue, pick it up after a very brief, friend, review of what I shared with you in part last week as we think about how the Messiah came. But before we do that, Debbie has written some beautiful songs. Those of you that heard this little radio ministry for any time at all, you know that. And I believe some, and this is my opinion, some of the best, some of the most beautiful are the songs that she wrote about the birth of Christ, having to do with this season we called Christmas. And here's another one. It's titled, Mary Held the Hands. Oh, look. Look, friend, you listen. You listen to the words that Debbie uses. You listen to how God moved her. And just listen to the message that is here. I'll be back in a few minutes with the message from John 10.
A young mother holding her child, keeping him warm as she held him close by her side.
I say glory, hallelujah, don't you? Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Well written, well done. I'll tell you, it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful thought to think about. That little child that that virgin by the name of Mary bore on that night that the Savior manifested God into this world. When God, for the first time, took upon Himself flesh, when God took upon Himself a body, He who was Spirit from all eternity, for all eternity, He took upon Himself the form of a man. How amazing. The Old Testament tells us that that a lamb was given. I mean, a lamb was given for the shepherd, but in the New Testament, a shepherd was given for the lamb. Isn't that amazing? Well, Debbie, thank you for that song. How special, how wonderful that it is. In the book of John's Gospel, in the book of John, chapter 10, the Word of God, and I'm not going to read many. I'd like to read half of this chapter, but I don't simply have the time and the opportunity. But I want to read 4 or 5 verses, beginning with verse 1. And John said, "Now verily, verily, I say unto you," that word "you" is referring back to chapter 9, to the Pharisees who had stood against the miracle that Jesus had done and performed on that man that was born blind. Hey, listen to what Jesus said. Now this chapter is definitely connected with chapter 9. Chapter breaks sometime, if we're not careful, we'll break the thought and the truth and the teaching that God wants us to get. But don't forget, friend, don't forget that it's related especially to chapter 9. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is the thief and the robber. Jesus again was referring this to the Pharisees. Listen, the true shepherd, we're going to find out, care for the sheep. But the hireling, he'll tell us later in this chapter, who speaks of the Pharisees. They don't care about the sheep. The only thing that they're caring about is their self, and how true that was about these religious hypocrites in that day. They didn't care for the sheep that were hurting, the sheep that need help, the sheep that needed healing. They cared about their self. And look, the Pharisees, and I'm going to throw in the scribes and the Sadducees, a friend, are guilty. Jesus said, all of those that ever came before me, meaning preceded Him, are thieves and robbers. Oh, listen, friend, we need to remember that. We absolutely cannot, we'd be foolish to forget or overlook the connection. He said, but he, listen now, that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, if you look at this passage, you're going to see the door mentioned at least 4 times. And there is, when you begin to thrash this out closely enough, you'll see that there are 3 different doors, actually. But let me slip down, if I may, to verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say... Well, let me get verse 3. Let me get 2 and 3. He said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Look, friend, I'm going to tell you who I believe in this parable of John. The porter refers to, I believe he's referring to John the Baptist, that forerunner that was prophesied that would come, that would make the path straight, that would introduce the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And I don't have time to go very deeply into that, but if you back up and read chapter 1, you'll see how this porter in this passage refers to John the Baptist in the work and the commission that God had called him to. Now I know you probably sitting there thinking, that's a picture of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens the door up to the sheepfold. There may be, a truth to that on a larger scale. But I want you to know, friend, I believe if you thrash this out, to use that word again, you'll find it's referring to John Baptist. Listen in verse 7 and following. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Oh, how wonderful that is. And all that ever came before me or preceded me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. But he said, I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture for their, shall go in and out. And find pastor. Hey, I want to back up in verse 2. And he said this. He said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You say, preacher, what door did Jesus enter in through? Hey, friend, it's really simple. In the book of Galatians chapter 4:4, I quoted this last week. Matter of fact, I did what I'm going to do again. I know I can quote it. I've read it time and again. I've quoted it time and again. But the Holy Spirit is making sure I read it in chapter 4, the book of Galatians, verses 4 and 5. The Bible said, but when, thank God, not too early, not too late, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, a maid of a woman. Now watch this, made under the law. The purpose is to redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the door that Jesus entered in by was the door of prophecy. Jesus, friend, as the only one who could, we're going to see that in some small aspect as we continue this message today from last week, is the only one who fulfilled the prophetic record of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, listen, hallelujah, it wasn't any accident that Jesus come. Hey, this was a part of a foreordained eternal plan. And that the Holy Trinity of heaven got together before the mud seals of the earth were ever laid and put together so that you and I, sinners, bless God, sinners, could be redeemed by the grace of God. I'll tell you what, if this doesn't make you happy, I absolutely don't know what would. Thank God, but Jesus entered, friend, according to the Word of God, according to the very clear passage or parts of the Word of God that pointed to Him that John said, cometh to take away the sin of the world. Isn't that amazing? A man by the name of Darby said this about the fulfilling of the Scriptures. Said he submitted himself to all the conditions established by him who built the house. Christ answered to all that was written of the Messiah, took part of God's will in presenting Himself to the people. Hey, I want you to know, friend, I'm this man by the name of Jesus according to Matthew 1 and 1, where it says of the book of the generation of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Do you know what that does? That connects him with the royal line of the nation of Israel. It connects him with the national line of the nation of Israel. But you know what else it does, friend? And I didn't tell you this last week. Bless God. It connected him, thank God, with the covenanted people of God, and the very covenant that God gave to Abraham and to David. Oh, listen, friend, he gave to the nation of Israel. And isn't it remarkable that John says in this very gospel that bears his name, that he came to his own and his own received him not. So he came of the line of David, as the line of the tribe of Judah. He came in the line of Abraham as that seed, thank God, through which God would bless all the world. How wonderful that is. But let me pick up another one. if you will, a prophecy that may be the most important, may be the most impactful. Ah, thank God. And the resurrection proves it. Hallelujah. He was born of a virgin. Now, I know I mentioned this last week, but I'll tell you, I was in a hurry. It had to be because of time. However, let me tell you something, friend. Listen, you talking about a cornerstone of Scripture. You talking about a capstone, if you will. Listen, the fact of Jesus being virgin born and proved and borne out by the fact that He who was dead came out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning solidifies this fact without doubt. Now you say, preacher, bless God, it's impossible for a virgin to conceive and bear a son. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm here to tell you this morning. Do you hear me? I'm here to tell you this morning. It's impossible with man, but not impossible with God. I say glory, hallelujah. Thank God. Now let me share something with you. I think I mentioned Genesis 3:15 to you last week. I believe I mentioned Jeremiah. Oh, I don't know what chapter that's in the book of Jeremiah without looking. If I can find it fast enough, I'll remind us again. But look, he said that's going to do some new thing in chapter 28, that a woman would encompass a man. Is that where it's at? No, it's in chapter 30. Hallelujah. Hey, look, we've got a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 where God told a king, Ahaz, that he would give him a sign that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. Well, listen to how Matthew opens the gospel here to his people and to you and I in chapter 1 of the gospel account that bears his name. And I'm not going to take time to read all of these, but I am going to emphasize them. I'd missed these all these years of studying, all these years of reading this blessed old book we call the Word of God. I had missed this grand truth. Oh, I've seen the virgin birth in Matthew chapter 1. I've seen it, bless God, and preached it as clearly and as regularly and as powerfully as I can. But oh, I saw something studying this year that I'd never seen before, beginning with verse 16, when we jump into the latter part of the begats about this man by the name Jesus, who was the stepson of a man by the name of Joseph, who was a spouse to a woman that was a virgin by the name of Mary. And it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now watch these two words that seem to be insignificant, but are deep, are filled with life and light. And he says, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Do you know those two words? Of whom? Listen now, friend, are feminine. Isn't that amazing? Hey, God breaks in the natural stream of progeneration. Nowhere, listen now, have the seed of generating generations of men, families, if you will, is found in the man. And everybody that's of any age knows anything about biology knows that the seed is in the man. That's just the way God made it. But here the Word of God says in relation to Genesis 3:15, when God was speaking to the serpent and to Adam and Eve and announcing a curse upon them, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And here in Matthew, for the first time in chapter 1, the first time in the New Testament, the first time, friend, how we find God referring to the virgin birth of His Son. And He says it seven times in this chapter from verse 16 on down to verse 25. And He said, of whom is born Jesus, who is called the Christ. I wish I had time to draw that out more and to tell you, friend, listen, something about the Greek language, but God knew what He was doing, when He inspired holy men of God to write the Word of God, when the Greek language was at its height. Isn't that amazing? Oh, listen, in this chapter, friend, we'll find out that God told this man by the name of Joseph not to fear to take his wife by the name of Mary, said in verse 18, because before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Look, if you will, at verse 20, in the last part, for that which is conceived her in her is of the Holy Ghost. Look in verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He couldn't be a Savior unless he was a sinless man. Look, if you will, at verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And look, if you will, finally at verse 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I'll tell you what, that'd make an old dried up Baptist shout, amen. But that's not all. We gotta hurry. Man, time goes so fast, so quickly. I'm gonna look here on the book of Luke. At chapter 1, I thank God that year that God had Gabriel, the messenger angel to the nation of Israel, traveling between heaven and the earth on a number of occasions. We find that he had been talking to a man by the name of Zacharias down at the temple in Jerusalem. But when he got back home, God said, I need you to run another errand. I need you to go see a little virgin by the name of Mary. She lives in Nazareth, and hey, she's found favor in my eyes. Now, let me say something. I believe a lot of virgins, a lot of young women at that day, were looking, bless God, to be the mother of Messiah. You say, why? Because they knew the Word of God. But oh, God, listen, said that Mary found favor in His sight. And listen to what the Word of God says. It was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And listen to what the Word says. To a virgin espoused to a man by the name of Joseph of the house of David. And he's going to emphasize it again and say the virgin's name was Mary. I'm here to tell you, thank God, the Greek word is Parthenon. It means virgin in the strictest sense. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah, in the most clear place of the virgin birth, no doubt, is Alma, A-L-M-A-H, and it means, bless God, a virgin in the strictest sense. And when Mary began to talk, she said in verse 34, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And here it is. Glory. Hallelujah. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High God shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. Mary said, listen, how can I, a virgin, bear a son? Hey, listen, nothing is impossible with God. I'm here to tell you, Jesus came through the door of prophecy. He fulfilled it completely. Over 300 scriptures or prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and He fulfilled them all. Hey, friend, run to Him. He came to be a Savior. He came to save you from your sins, not in your sins. And if you call on Him, He'll respond to you. Look, I'll never get this message complete, but I'm glad God let me share part of it today. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.